Hey guys, welcome to Debunked, our podcast where we debunk and discuss quite literally everything about anything. My name is Soman. I'll be your host today along with
Rushi,
Kaushik,
Kailash,
and we have a new guest speaker here with us today, Nick. Yeah.
Hi.
All right. So
Nick Kimball.
Yeah. Without further ado, let's begin. So this week has been kind of crazy. Again, we've had our first presidential debate, and also we've gotten a confirmation on President Trump and FLOTUS having COVID-19. Other than that, we're now only 1 month away from elections, exactly 1 month as of recording this, as of today. And I don't know. What do you guys think about all of this? It's kind of going haywire. The presidential debate was absolutely just chaotic. There's memes floating around, you know.
Yeah. First of all, I got to say, FLOTUS, just call her Melania.
Okay.
I mean, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
dude, FLOTUS sounds kind of cool.
It does sound
low-key.
I feel like FLOTUS actually sounds better than POTUS.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. All right, what are we going to discuss first, the debate?
I feel like we should discuss the debate first, because mostly because it came first and just, you know,
Let's not talk about I don't want to talk about it too much, because I'm going to be honest, there's not much to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, the main thing, honestly, was, like, they acted like children. Wallace wasn't able to control anything. Also, Trump didn't condemn white supremacy. I mean, those are basically the three main things.
Yeah, and other than that too, just it was very, very hard to watch for most of us.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't very presidential in the way they behaved. Trump violated the yielded time rule, which he agreed to
a lot.
Yeah, he just kind of, you know, every time he felt like Biden was making a valid point, he just went and interrupted, like he hit the interrupt button.
Yeah,
Biden was also like, yeah, you go.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, that politically informed, but I was watching the debate, and I thought, okay, maybe I can get some, like, political information from this. I can, like, kind of, you know, make myself more educated.
That was
your
first mistake.
Yeah, that's what I thought would happen, but I just saw, like, oh, now Trump's insulting Biden's kids. Great, okay. Now
and then Biden called Trump, like, a clown.
The clown wasn't even that bad. He's just, like...
It was kind of funny, I'm going to be honest.
That was funny, but, like...
I feel like it became just kind of just, like, a muckraking war, right? Not very... Like I said before, it wasn't very presidential in behavior, but they kind of just went and threw cheap blows at each other, if you get what I mean. They like insulted each other. They, rather than criticize, they just straight up went into like a very sad roasting session.
Yeah. And a lot of it was kind of like, yes, I did. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Not really like anything constructive.
And a lot of it was just lies too, if you look at it.
I went on a fact checker the night after. It was very shocking.
I'm sure
the night
all
after?
Of us did.
Alright, and I think I saw like a poll too. Like, I forgot who was by, but basically like it asked Americans like what they thought of it, of the debate. 69%, a very nice number, were annoyed by it. But I think what even surprised me more is that 17% were informed. I don't understand how someone could get informed by that thing.
I feel like you kind of think you're informed when you support someone, or you go in there supporting someone, and then nothing really happens, but you feel like your candidate won.
Maybe they're like informed because like they got informed knowing that these two are clowns.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the information that they got.
Oh yeah. At the end of the day, with the debate, who do you guys think actually won? In a sense, like it wasn't really like a debate, if you'd say. It was more of kind of like a weird old grandpa conversation at a barbecue.
Yeah. That's actually very accurate.
So, how
I think maybe like Biden in a sense, because he didn't look like as much of like as a child. But at the same time too, right? Like, even if these debates like went off like without a hitch, without all the stupid behavior, I don't see it like swaying anyone. Like, I just don't see that many swing voters, if I'm being honest. I feel like it's more of like a thing of like who gets more votes rather than who swings more voters over to their side, because I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see whose mind is getting changed.
I feel like the only big change that did happen over here would be like some people might have been dissuaded from Trump. Because I know my history teacher was talking about this in class, and he said that he has a Republican friend who resides in Pennsylvania. And he pretty much treated this debate as the last chance for Trump to redeem himself and actually like play to his strengths, kind of, you know, talk about policies that many conservatives do support. And at the end of the debate, he just, you know, called up my teacher and he was like, no, I'm not voting Republican this year. I don't want to vote Biden, but Trump blew his last chance.
Yeah, I was actually watching, I don't know if any of people know this, but I was watching like, the Kyle Kalinske show. And like, basically, like he said, like his mom, right, who's not very like politically, like, I guess, you know, active and stuff. Like she's either a Republican or Democrat, like depending on like the year. I think like he said, like her mom, like, yeah, his mom before the debate was like, eh, like, I'm going to vote for Biden. And then it was like, after the debate, it's like, I'm definitely going to vote for Biden. So I think maybe it's like a reaffirmation for some people about their like decisions and votes. But I don't see it like swinging any people.
Yeah. I mean, there, if you're undecided by this point, it really doesn't make sense because you've seen 4 years of one man and you've seen like the policies of another, right? It's pretty easy to make a decision by this point, and yeah, there's no one that these that this audience is conversation.
Yeah, Nick, you're trying to say something.
Yeah. When it comes to the conversation of like, if you look at more Trump supporters, is that like the loyal supporters I'm referring to? Is that it's not necessarily what Trump does, like what he says or his bills, but it's he has such a weird cult-like following where they look up to him as like he's like a god-like figure. Where it doesn't matter what God does, there's no way you can kind of dispute it. And so even if, like, I was talking about this over with my mom earlier, because we talked politics a little bit, is that you guys already know Trump got COVID. But imagine if he recovers from COVID. All of his supporters are going to be like, oh, my God.
They're going to call COVID like a hoax or something.
Something like that. And, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? There's people that still don't even believe that COVID-19 exists, like, genuinely speaking. Some people think
it's
made up
and
by
then,
the government. So.
It's funny you said very, very interesting conversation with one of these, you know, MAGA supporters who
will
is
be unnamed.
A friend of mine. He'll be unnamed, but he does go to JP. But
wait,
I
no, he doesn't.
Very...
Wait, not anymore.
He doesn't? Okay.
No, he actually switched.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's
so
irrelevant.
I was talking to him, and funny thing is, so I kind of said Trump getting COVID is kind of some form of karma because he preached against wearing masks and he's the one who got it, right? So his response to that is it's only karma if he dies. So I was a little bit surprised because he generally tends to support him. But here's the punchline that comes in later. He says, but he's not going to die because he didn't do anything wrong and he's going to come out this stronger than ever and he's going to win the election and yada, yada, yada.
He's not going to die because he didn't do anything wrong.
What does that mean? Many people didn't do anything wrong, and they still died.
I think that's like I think that's like a religious reference. Like, I think your friend just added a religion.
Yeah, exactly.
He is pretty religious.
He is very religious. But no, that's just the kind of confusing logic that they do associate with Trump, don't they? It's very, very disconcerting because I know him to be a good person, but he's like so. I don't know what the word is here. He just got
in his echo chamber.
He's in his echo chamber.
Yeah, sure.
That's I think COVID kind of made the echo chamber a little bit worse because you don't talk to people that much, and especially people who disagree with you. So you're just
Yeah. Now moving on a little bit to like how like he might like get out of like about
the actual
Trump
COVID
and COVID.
Itself.
Yeah. So apparently like. His one of his top advisors, like Hope Hicks, she got it, and then Trump tested positive. I heard Thursday morning, but now I'm hearing Wednesday from some reports, so I'm not too sure which one it is. Anyways, right? In terms of symptoms, he is experiencing symptoms, like according to his doctor, which if you want to trust that or not, that's up to you. But he had a mild fever; he doesn't have a fever anymore. He was staying to the hospital as a precaution, and he got some like medicines. He got some kind of like some kind of immunotherapy medicine cocktail thing before, and I think like he's on a treatment like remdesivir right now, which not hydroxychloroquine.
at least
in terms of like how likely something bad could happen to him, I mean, he is 73, no, actually 74,
and his
he's
diet
obese
is really the greatest,
he's obese and he has high blood pressure,
so he does have pre-existing conditions.
I mean,
We're not going to make any predictions here, but
yeah, no, that would be saying, that would be stupid to make predictions. We're just
I think we're all like, I think.
Yeah, I
mean,
2020. Here's my question.
Is probably in a corner somewhere.
Here's my question. This is my chance. Trump getting COVID. Do you think that's gonna disillusion any of his fans? Should we say?
No.
If
anything, it'll make him more strong. There's actually like a rumor, right? Well, not a rumor, but like some kind of theory that like Trump was like injected with COVID.
Oh yeah, no, like, there's a rumor like that or theory. Yeah, there's a theory roaming around that says that during the debate something like that must have happened because the Democrats don't want to handle another debate with Trump or something like that.
Which this is the weirdest thing they could have done.
Yeah, like, I mean,
We're not going to discuss this. It's so ridiculous. We're not going to discuss this.
Yeah, although to be
but in all honesty, I feel like there was another theory that kind of says the opposite that is a little bit more plausible, which is Trump might be faking this COVID thing to get out of the debates because they were going to make some changes to the rules after all of his violations, right? I don't think that's likely either.
It's not,
I feel
not
like
the case. He was staying to the hospital.
Yeah, mostly because
I don't think that's the case either.
Because like, there's been so many news reports of people who attended his fundraiser the morning before he tweeted out that he has COVID, he's COVID positive. And many of his donors are freaking out because of the validity of, him actually having COVID.
Let's say theoretically, we're not going to make any predictions here, but let's say theoretically, right? Trump couldn't run for president again. It had to be Pence. How do you think he would do? Now, there's like no polling or anything.
I feel like if Trump isn't there, his campaign would die out. The Republicans' campaign.
Yeah, because Pence doesn't have that like wild factor.
And I mean,
he doesn't have that charisma.
If you look, like they actually did hypothetical polling last year, they found that Pence would be down by 8 points against Biden in Ohio specifically, and Ohio's really close right now. So you could tell he was doing really bad. I don't think he'd have a chance if it was Pence.
Pence isn't one of those like, I guess, hype man type of people, and he's like perfect, like I guess in a Trump sense for vice president, someone who's not gonna like get in his way or anything like that. But as running for president, like I don't.
Plus, he doesn't have like complete loyalty from like media platforms like Fox News, so
yeah,
he does.
I don't think there's a cult around Pence. I might.
There isn't a cult around Pence.
I mean,
most people just vote for him. For Trump, because he has that personality cult. He's the Donald, right?
Yeah. I think if Pence didn't have to end up running, then he'd have to create a cult would form, but like it'd be a different one.
It would be the weirdest cult ever.
He'd have to create it again. It wouldn't just transfer support.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a complete transfer. There might be some people
who get support.
You
would definitely get support against Biden, but like.
But not
I mean,
so
he'd
much.
Easily at least get 50 million votes, but like that's not enough to win presidency.
I mean, it would be a really
good
cult, though, because think about it. The mother cult.
What?
Oh. Okay, you have to have some background knowledge to get that.
I don't understand that.
All right, anyways, let's move on to, I guess, other Republicans that are testing positive for, like, COVID, too.
Yeah,
so
in the Senate,
like Melania
right?
tests positive. Yeah, three in the Senate. One from North Carolina, I think. Wait, let me look up his name.
Tom
Talk, I guess, till then.
No, I think I got all three names here. Tom Tillis, Mike Lee, and Ron Johnson. So Mike Lee and Tom Tillis are Mike Lee is from Utah, and Ron Johnson is from Wisconsin. And like you said, Tom Tillis is from North Carolina. So three major Republican senators did actually test positive for COVID.
Also, Christie tested positive,
and
too.
But he's a governor. So, no, the point we're trying to make after, like, the senator thing we're just talking about is that they're supposed to vote on confirmation for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And that is going to most definitely be delayed, but it might even just not go in might not go the Republicans' way because, like, if another Republican senator tests positive for COVID-19 and the vote does happen and they're unable to vote, then she doesn't get confirmed because then the Democrats will hold a temporary majority.
I mean, so that way you could just get them, the infected senators, you could just get them in for like 5 minutes for a vote. It's possible.
That's possible, but that's very, first of all, that's very risky.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know how dangerous COVID is. Yeah. If it does like completely incapacitate you and put you on like ventilators / life support, you
it's
aren't
not a
voting.
Good look at
yeah, you don't have first and foremost, you don't have a substitute, you know, senator to come in and vote for you.
Also, don't forget too that like most of the Senate is old and not in the greatest shape either. I mean, these aren't like these people aren't the pinnacle of health. I mean, a lot of these people would not fare too
well.
And
a lot of them have pre-existing conditions as well.
I mean,
and I
like I
like,
said, not the pinnacle of health.
Since when has Mitch McConnell cared about anything other than the judiciary? If he gets the chance, he's
funny
not going to
let
it down.
You say that. I think there's articles claiming that Mitch McConnell seeks an agreement to delay the Senate's return so that they don't actually vote on the confirmation. So he's looking to delay it rather than, you know, just not caring if you're sick and still making you vote.
I'm sure if you're like, if you're not in like really bad condition, then like, I'm sure there are ways of like remotely voting in Senate. There has to be some president.
Zoom call voting?
Nah, I'm pretty like,
yeah, but for that, they have to do a hearing first though. And the hearing, they already said it won't be virtual, the Democrats.
Yeah. So no, I feel like the vote first and foremost, it's not going to happen this month whatsoever because, you know, three Republican senators have COVID. And I feel like there's going to be more because it's a general trend amongst Republicans not to wear masks after, especially what many well-known Republicans say about masks, and they, you know, publicly just denounce them. I don't know. I don't know where this is headed in for the long run, but for right now, we can say it's going to be like delayed and there isn't going to be any immediate action. Nick, what
do
you
think? Also, Nick can go.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think it's unfortunate that, of course, like regardless of where you stand politically, that, you know, the Republicans, a lot of them have been getting COVID-19 and hope they are well.
Yeah.
I don't wish death upon them. But definitely, I think the parameters of understanding more that COVID is really serious. I know a lot of them, you know, outsourced and proclaimed that they didn't believe that COVID and how serious it was, and now they're kind of battling with it. But in terms of our democracy, I feel as if it should. Yeah, so hitting back into what our democracy is doing right now is it's kind of taking a hold when it comes to all of these senators as of right now that have been given COVID-19. And I think that's a wrong choice of words given, because I know there is a belief that the Democrats supposedly, you know, gave it to them. But, you know, it's funny enough that a lot of these senators before getting into having COVID-19, they didn't believe that it even really existed or how prevalent it was within different areas and otherwise in that nature. But now we're trying to see that it's kind of taking a hold of, it's kind of taking away from the American people at the end of the day. So when it came to these parameters of like staying indoors, wearing masks, 6 feet, it's like it takes more from the, it promotes a perspective that helps the group instead of maybe the individual. Because maybe like you or I just don't want to wear a mask, you know, maybe we just got like a fresh haircut or something or a clean shave and want to show it off. You know, that helps you personally. But when it comes to the group of keeping people safe, that's always the big thing with our democracy, is trying to help out every single person and to make everyone's lives better.
It's good thing that you said that, because I had a question. So now that some of these Republican senators have actually not only senators, Republican politicians in general, they've contracted COVID. Do you think their opinions and their mannerisms will change? Do you think they'll start advocating for policies that might help the greater good rather than, you know, encourage, hey, it's your choice, you have the freedom type of thing?
Funny thing enough, maybe. I feel like they're not going to change. But I feel like they're not going to change just because they feel as if they're going to get more backlash in the media eye. I think their personal view is definitely going to change. But in terms of the media eye and what they'll say in public, I don't think it's going to change. Because we need to understand when it comes to the Republican Party, is regardless if there's an agreement between Republican and Democrats, there's never that sense of agreement, at least in the public eye. So for that reason, I don't think that it'll be open about they're changing their mind and possibly pushing out more 6 feet and more mask and more safe precautions when it comes to COVID-19.
I guess as an anti-mask senator getting COVID, if you don't change your mind, you're still going to have the support of the people who originally supported you. But if you do change your mind, now both sides think you're like betraying. right? Because yeah. one side is like, you don't
it's all about
anymore.
The optics,
and the
which
other
is
side,
kind of sad.
Yeah, the other side would be like, you didn't, you know, you've been talking about not wearing masks for all this time. I'm not going to support you now. So it's like,
I feel like they shouldn't be that fearful of their optics, though. I feel like it would play into their, you know, it would go into their favor if they do come out and say, hey, my eyes have been opened and whatever. They might lose some very staunch conservative followers, but in the end of the day, you can see that these politicians are actually trying to help their constituents rather than, you know, preserve their image.
Oh,
that would just
they should change their
solidify
mind.
Them as better human beings rather than, you know, popular politicians.
See,
I would rather have a better human being in office.
Yeah,
than
you would rather,
popular.
but like yeah. if you're a politician, I don't think like it's probably like being a good human being probably isn't the highest of your priorities.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
You can't have very ennobling intentions in a political system like the United States. Yes, it's kind of disheartening too. Yeah. All right, so having said that, now that we look at how Trump has COVID and evidently we know that Biden does not, Biden, Harris, and Biden's wife, I believe, all tested negative for COVID-19. Simply because you know they follow protocol in terms of social distancing and everything. So having said that, how do you kind of think this would play into any future discussions or debates between the president and Biden? Because I know for a fact they like going at the offensive towards one another. So do you think like Biden will bring up the point that, hey, you didn't do this and guess what, you paid for it or something like that?
He definitely will. But I think he also will talk about like all the people who like they may have listened to Trump and they just may not have followed the proper guidelines and then they lost their lives because of it, because it brings that human aspect to it. And is it just like an attack on him specifically? But more than that, he'll just use it as more evidence that what these guidelines do work and that it worked for him personally.
Yeah,
I actually think that this disillusionment angle is pretty smart. Like he was trying to do that in the debate, however a little bit unsuccessfully, but he was trying to do that in the first debate.
All right, but I think like one common talking point, like both of them were kind of like talking trash about Sanders. Like I mean, so Trump was like basically trying to like say how like Biden's controlled by like the radical left, which no, that's just objectively not true. And then I think, but then Biden, like, instead of like trying to like embrace like, you know, his other people, like the, I guess the left wing of like the Democratic Party, like Bernie or AOC or people like that, right? He just basically said like, no, I beat the socialists. He was saying, he didn't say that during debate, but that was, I guess, like his mindset, like, you know, talking about it. Like he says, you know, he doesn't support things like Medicare for All, which is true. But like, basically he was just trying to say like, how, oh, those aren't his policies. Those are crazy policies. Of course, they don't support them, which kind of play
yeah,
right
into... Yeah,
the
Green New Deal and everything as well, right?
Yeah, I think, like, that's actually one smart thing Trump did, too. And here's why I say this, right? I'm of, like, this thing that, like, you can't really convince somebody on, like, to pick a side. I think it's more about getting the vote out. And I say this, but I think I'm only talking about, like, I guess liberals and conservatives. I'm kind of like, I'm not talking about the left wing in this way, because here's the thing, right? People on the left, they don't really like Trump or Biden because, you know, their policies don't align with them, right? But like the hope is like, you know, for like Democrats and Biden at least, that, you know, those like go along to like defeat Trump or whatever. And that has having like mixed results. Like some, you know, biting the bullet, some are like, no, I'm not going to vote for Biden. He just doesn't do enough for me. I think Trump actually did a smart thing by basically just like reaffirming that like Biden isn't your friend, like
yeah.
Biden doesn't really care about you.
Like, although the effectiveness of that strategy can be questioned, considering they probably wouldn't vote for him either, just because
of
disillusion.
Why is he trying to make radical left voters vote for
I
Biden?
Think,
Who
I
else
think,
are they going to vote for?
No, look, wait. That's the point. They're either not going to vote or just vote third party. Like, that's kind of the point. Like, yeah, he knows they're
that's
not going
to
vote
for him,
obviously.
That's a weak argument to make, because
there's,
like, people
who
are straight
up
saying settle for Biden. And people do understand that, like, hey, if I don't
vote, yeah, but not everyone. There's a lot.
It's pretty much stealing the vote from.
No, yeah, that. Okay, I'm not. Of course, there are people. I'm just trying to say, there's. He's not getting nowhere near all the left vote. Like, yeah, there are a lot of people on the left who are like, yeah, I'll vote for Biden. I don't really like him, but he's better than Trump. But there are also a lot of people who are like, I can't even get myself to vote for Biden. And like, again, I don't think it was the smartest thing in the world. I mean, people like already knew like Biden support this, but I guess it was just like a reaffirmation of this. Like, he even said it to like, yeah. Joe, you're losing the left.
It's weird, like, he said, Joe, you're losing the left. You can't say the word law enforcement without losing your like radical left supporters or whatever. And then I feel like it's kind of a parallel because Trump refused to condemn white supremacy, which is like the same thing the other way, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, you can't condemn white supremacy because you're going to annoy the far right.
I feel like this kind of adds to the hodgepodge feeling of what the debate actually was. You know, I don't think they ultimately accomplished anything.
Yeah,
major.
Nothing happened.
That's why it was so confusing because they like kept on trying to, you know, strip supporters from one another. But in the end, they ended up losing them too. So. I don't know. It's very, very.
I mean, like
the debate itself was very chaotic, and then what's happening now? Again, I feel like it's gonna lead to a little bit more chaos in the end. But my biggest concern as of right now is that if Trump gets out of COVID, and you know, for some reason he gains public sympathy for, I don't know, battling a disease or something, and he ends up having his way with the people. And actually winning this election, I'm a little bit concerned about what that might hold for the future. Because this
a little.
A little bit?
A little bit, yeah, just a little bit. I mean, the reason I'm saying a little bit is because, again, I'm an immigrant, so I can leave this country whenever. You guys, some of you are born here, so like.
Oh, poor me.
I still have a roast. If I can leave.
But,
yeah,
no, I definitely agree. I feel like depending on how well Trump is after he comes back from this, if he does come back from this, will definitely change the trajectory of this entire election. I think it can change the landscape to a degree, especially if he's able to come back healthy. One thing I will say with the entire Republican Party, I think they will back him going forward. And there's going to be a resurgence of faith, really, in Trump. Cause that's really what a lot of people are having right now when it comes to the political system, is that you're having faith. It's not in a sense where someone likes a politician more necessarily. It's more you have more faith that they'll do less of a job of messing up America than the other. So that's really, it's kind of a lot of Americans as of right now, we're settling for a politician instead of really having that love and admiration for what we hope they'll do in the future.
That's actually a very appropriate way to put it. I don't think we could phrase that better. Mostly because, you know, I feel like this election itself eventually, like in the future, is going to be dubbed something along the lines of, you know, settling for whatever, settling for the lesser evil or something like that.
That's what they said in 2016.
Could an election like this be kind of like the reason for the rise of a third party or something like that? Where like so many people are just like, don't
maybe.
Like their candidate.
I feel like this... If anything, it might lead to like a split in either the Democrats or the Republicans in like a decade or two.
I mean, yeah,
because you know, like they're getting they're like splitting into two factions: the radical version of their party and the moderate version. Yeah. So, you know, eventually when that disparity grows,
like with Joe Biden, like how right is he? How far right is he from the left?
No, he's in the middle. He's a moderate, but like there's people in his party that are like, you know, leaning very much towards the left.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of disparity, and they're actually gaining supporters within the party. So, you know, if that disparity grows and, you know, gets even more polarized, what I'm expecting is like in a decade or two, everything kind of
like splits. Three parties, like left, middle, right?
Three or four parties. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to do more research on that. Cause that's pretty interesting, because if people get like annoyed with settling, because all this stuff is like, oh, a vote for a third party is a vote for Trump. Settle for Biden. It's like, that's kind of against what democracy is.
I feel like this is like a topic for like a different podcast. I mean,
I feel like we should conclude the episode right now.
End it off there.
So,
we're all controlled by aliens.
All right. If we have nothing else to say, there's a really quick word from our sponsors before we leave. So stay tuned for our next episode, where we will discuss something new and break down everything for you. It would be appreciated if you guys could drop us a like and write us a review on your preferred platforms. Go check out our website for more information and check us out on Instagram. Share our podcast with your friends if you liked it. We're really grateful for those of you who've been tuned in so far, and we hope you guys can grow along with us on this journey wherever it takes us. And hit that outro!